Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your 5 to 9 news feed on News Radio WTAM 1100.
I'll call it right now. He's having too much fun. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save is in. He is tracking everything we want and seem to be buying online, trying to get some deals. Let's talk toys this morning. How are you, pal?
Oh, I am ready to talk toys. And I really want to begin with a disclaimer for our listeners. There were a lot of people unhappy with me last year when I featured a very similar toy box. It's the top trending toys of the holiday year, all in the same box for under $30. It sold out in 2 hours last year.
Not your fault.
No, people think I sell the items, though. They think I have like a store in my basement.
Right.
So parents and grandparents, if you have any idea what I'm alluding to, just go to WTAM.com using the keyword save right now. Get it. Buy it. It will not be available tomorrow.
Fun stuff. And you know what? When I saw you playing with some of these things, right away I thought, you know what? You can make some instant memories around the tree at Christmas.
You can. You know? And what this is, it's an easy way for grandparents and parents, uncles, aunts, to afford the ultimate amalgamation of toys for really anyone between the ages of 5 and, let's say, 12 or 13.
Or
and I had a lot of fun.
Or 33 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And the items in this box are not only as seen on TV popular toys from shows like Nickelodeon and things that kids have seen before, but a lot of them make you think. And a few of these in here is something called a magic cube. It's kind of like this Rubik's cube on steroids that expands to all different types of things.
Yeah.
UV putty. So if you think a silly putty, this is something that is actually kind of illuminated. Things that make kids think. And then also things that have kids enjoying themselves, both boys and girls. Flow toys, splat tomatoes, a racing car set. Really awesome and beautifully packaged. It's $55 worth of material down to $29 with free delivery. But it's a one-day only deal.
Get on it. WTAM.com, keyword save. Granted, back tomorrow with some tech stuff. Watch him at 3 this morning. Again, at WTAM.com, keyword save. Matt does, you know, normally I say Matt does all the work. I really can't say that this morning because he's done all the play when you see this thing.
Yeah.
Like he was having too much fun.
That's Matt, a good point.
Matt, thanks. Have a great day.
Awesome.
You get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15:45 past. Gordon back. Hard to believe the guy had been out for a couple years.
Yeah,
right?
I thought he looked really. We know what he's why he's so special, Bill. When you can get him on the field, and why, after all the years and all the problems, maybe he is still worth the wait to keep on your team. They didn't waste any time getting him the football. First play from scrimmage, a 9-yard pass to Josh Gordon. He would finish with 4 catches for 84 yards. But the Browns ended up with their 12th loss of the year, falling to the Chargers 19-10. On Gordon, beleaguered head coach Hugh Jackson said,
"This is just the start for Josh, you know, so we just, again, it's practice time, it's time on task, it's time with the quarterback, it's time within the system, and keep going from there."
And they'll keep going. For Gordon, how did it feel to play for the first time in 3 years in a game?
Like I said, we got a lot more work to do. I'm just trying to go out here and make sure I do my job the best of my ability, try to execute it, make sure we have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, it's obvious Gordon can help this offense. Will they win a game, though, now is the next question. And despite his addition, they only scored one touchdown on the day. DeShone Kizer did some good things, but he did some bad things. And that's kind of what we say about him every week. And the result is the Browns now 0-12, home to Green Bay. The Packers are still alive in the playoff picture after beating Tampa Bay. So it'll be a big game for them as they try to hang in there till Aaron Rodgers returns. He won't be back this week. If you missed it last night, Seattle knocked off the Eagles in Seattle last night. Just after 12:30 yesterday afternoon, Urban Meyer saw Alabama's name pop up on his television as the number 4 team in the college football playoff rankings. What was the Ohio State coach's reaction?
I sunk in my chair at home because I really thought we were in. You know, I kind of looked at it and stared at it for a minute. And then my thoughts were to them because, you know, I've been very fortunate to be around some really cool things, and there's a group of players now that really deserve that opportunity, and that's what I thought about.
Well, the Buckeyes had a good argument if conference championships were heavily weighted, but obviously that is not the case. That loss at Iowa was really the difference when you break it down. Then it would have been very interesting, a one-loss Buckeye team. I think they would have got in. But Bama gets in. Buckeyes will now meet USC in a very intriguing Cotton Bowl December 29th. Sam Darnold, the Trojans quarterback, could very well be the Browns' pick at number 1. Now, the playoffs will have Alabama meet Clemson, Georgia against Oklahoma. It's kind of interesting. Alabama Alabama is a slight favorite over Clemson, and the oddsmakers would have had Ohio State as probably a 10-point underdog. And while the Browns have lost 12 in a row, the Cavaliers actually should make it 12 wins in a row tonight when they meet the 3-18 Bulls in Chicago. It's an 8 o'clock tip. You can hear it right here. Coming up, DeShone Kizer talks about another Browns loss, and there will be no whining from Urban Meyer over the Buckeyes' omission from the playoffs. Those stories at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
What a weekend. SNL even did a little skit on Trump.
You come to get me, I knew it. It's the Muslim stuff, right?
No.
It's for calling Mexicans rapists?
No.
The Roy Moore stuff?
No.
Draft dodging?
No.
The birther stuff?
No.
Pocahontas?
No.
The Central Park Five? No, wait. Making fun of the handicapped reporter like this?
No, sir!
WillsInsider.com. Check out the skit, little ghost of Christmas past. Only this was scandal past. News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Our Bill Zimfer joins us this morning. Hey, Bill, what a week ahead, but let's go back to Friday. I mean, this was big with Flynn, right?
Absolutely. This is a bombshell in this investigation, really. There had been some rumors maybe about a month ago that another indictment may be coming out involving Flynn. That never happened at the time, of course, and as it turns out now, Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI. He will cooperate with a Mueller investigation, which is not good news for anybody else who might be involved. And right now, we're talking about maybe the first entry into the White House with Michael Flynn. So this is the first time it's really entered that area, and the next person that's really going to be in the hot seat now is Jared Kushner, because he is reportedly that, quote, very senior member of the transition team who directed Flynn to contact the Russians.
President Trump tweeting to anybody who would read that there was nothing going on, including this other twisted story. Trump personal lawyer John Dowd told CNN Sunday he actually drafted the tweet that had some issues about Flynn, and now people are wondering that maybe Trump's got people drafting tweets. You kind of wonder about
that.
Yeah.
Well, the big question was, the tweet came out, he said he had to fire Flynn for lying to the vice president and the FBI. Then that prompted everybody to say, whoa, wait a minute. Did you know at the time of the firing that he lied to the FBI? And if so, you didn't say anything about that. There could be obstruction of justice involved there. Then word came out, yeah, John Dowd said I was the one who drafted that. Two things about that. Number one, it leads you to wonder who else is writing tweets or what other tweets did John Dowd write for the president. And number two, John Dowd is his personal attorney. John Dowd as an attorney should give up if he wrote a tweet like that as an attorney. This story isn't going to go away for a while.
Pete Rose is laughing somewhere. Dowd, of course, led the investigation, yes, whether or not he bet on baseball. All right, on to me and my taxes. Senate passed something so them and the House are going to get together, is that right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, early Saturday morning, the Senate passed their tax plan by a 51-49 vote. It was Bob Corker, the only Republican, voting against it. So it now goes to a conference committee. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell will appoint negotiators from their respective chambers to negotiate this thing out. There are some differences between the two, but I don't think there's anything that really can't be worked out. But here we go again, Bill. Like Susan Collins of Maine, who voted for the tax plan, is now saying, once again, I have to wait and see what the final version looks like, because there could still be more changes made to this before we get a final vote on it.
Yeah, these senators love to talk. They love to have the spotlight on these things. All right, let me get you out here on this. He shot off another missile, and if you look at the trajectory, they think this thing could reach the U.S. pretty confidently then, right?
Absolutely. Just a question of whether it covers the entire U.S. mainland or not. It depends on what kind of payload is on there. And as we speak, Bill, the United States and South Korea have started military exercises, large scale, involving 12,000 U.S. servicemen, 230 aircraft on the Korean Peninsula. North Korea doesn't like that.
Bill Zimfer on all of it. Busy week ahead, and he's got it covered for you. Bill, thanks, pal.
You're welcome.
Senator Dianne Feinstein on Trump and the tweets and Flynn and what's going on.
I think what we're beginning to see is the putting together of a case of obstruction of justice. I think we see this in the indictments, mm-hmm, the four indictments and pleas that have just taken place, in some of the comments that are being made. I see it most importantly in what happened with the firing of Director Comey, and it is my belief that that is directly because he did not agree to lift the cloud of the Russia investigation. That's obstruction of justice.
On this one tweet, this is an interesting twist. President Trump's personal lawyer, John Dowd, told CNN yesterday that he wrote the tweet for @RealDonaldTrump Twitter account about the firing of former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. The tweet, I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. That's the way the tweet read. He's now pled guilty to those lies. It's a shame because his actions during the transition were lawful. There was nothing to hide. Dowd said he actually drafted the tweet, believes the White House social media director actually posted it online, not President Trump. So if that's true, then some of these tweets from Trump's account may not be him, if you want to take it down that road. We're on your money and return on your yield on what you're getting on some of that money. Jordan Goodman joins me this morning at MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan, good morning. The stock market all year has been hitting new records. Bond market, though, some other investments a bit different. But now with the Fed and the interest rate change, that's on top of mind this morning.
I think the Fed's going to raise rates again in December. Yeah. That would be the third interest rate increases so far this year. They're talking about three more interest rate increases next year. The long-term Treasury bond's up to about 2.3, 2.4, something in that range. If interest rates keep going up and you have money in bonds, you're going to be losing more in principal than you earn in interest. So that's not a good solution
not
for
at all.
Income
no.
these days.
Right.
So what I would say, I mean, I've mentioned this before, it's helped a lot of your listeners, are what are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. And that's a way of earning 6% safely over 1 year, get monthly checks, get your money back at the end of the year, no commissions or fees. Website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. And what they're doing is lending money to commercial real estate projects over a one-year time frame. Maybe they need to renovate a dentist office or do a new shopping mall or apartment building, some kind of a commercial project. It's backed by the value of the property, maximum 65% so-called loan-to-value. So it gives it a big kind of safety cushion. It's not traded, doesn't go up and doesn't go down. So you just get your original principal back. It's purely for income. So to get 6% over 1 year, if you're willing to go out longer, you can get about 8% over 2 years, 9% over 3 years. So that'll save you, instead of having to keep your money in the bank at zero or getting two and change on a long Treasury bond, there's a way of getting much higher yields. And again, their website, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com.
Good tip, good info. Jordan Goodman has more for you if you just go to moneyanswers.com. Always good about following up, too, if you've got a specific question on something, even about the commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com site. Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Bill.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. We're on your money news of the morning, and let's start trying to save you some money on your tax bill. Kevin Myroff joins me at NCA Financial Planners. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Bill.
Okay, we all, at least I say we all like to give to charity. And when you do, there's, of course, an opportunity when it comes to saving some money on taxes. And we're starting to count down into the year. So Kevin's got a few moves you might want to make at the end of the year, especially some things in mind with the proposed tax bill, things we're hearing about. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, you bet, Bill. The proposed tax bill, because it's going to be doubling the standard deduction, will make it so you have to itemize in order to deduct your charitable contributions. So it'll make it so a lot of people can't itemize, and they may eliminate some of the ability to even itemize charitable deductions in the new bill.
All right, let's go through a couple of tips for you this morning. One, Kevin, you say you got to think about boosting charitable giving this year.
Yes. I mean, if you want to make sure that you're going to get your deduction, you want to do it before December 31st of this year. It's really important because that way you're not subject to the higher standard deductions if it goes into next year. So giving a couple years worth of deductions, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, just in you've told me this before, I'm just kind of regurgitating something you've said. Look, you get to the end of the year and you think about giving, you know, get those checks dated, because no matter what the tax bill is, you get more of a write-off, of course, this year compared to next year anyway, right?
Usually the case,
yeah.
Not always, but the biggest thing is you get your money back right away.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it in December, you file your tax return in February or March, and you get your money back from making that contribution.
All right, donations, tax-exempt groups, right?
Yeah, if you're going to make a donation, make sure you do it to a tax-exempt group. They use the number 501c3, which identifies the nonprofit. Churches or other religious organizations work, but you cannot deduct contributions made to individuals, political organizations, candidates.
Okay, another tip from Kevin, itemizing taxes.
Yeah, to use charitable deductions, you must itemize to get a deduction for a contribution, you must itemize your deductions. So This year in 2017, the standard deduction is $12,700. If all your deductions, including your contributions, only add up to $5,000, you're not going to take that. You're just going to take the higher standard deduction of $12,700.
All right, they're talking in Washington about future when it comes to taxes. And Kevin Myroff with me this morning, a couple of tips involving your charitable giving and deductions to make sure you're getting the most you can. Be aware of the deduction limitations, too, in your situation, Kevin.
Yeah, generally for most of us, this doesn't come into play. But if this year people are like, oh, man, I'm never going to get another deduction, so I'm going to give 10 times what I normally do. The general rule is you cannot give more than 50% of your adjusted gross income. So go to whatever that number is at the bottom of your tax or front page of your tax return. You can't give more than half of that and still receive a deduction.
And documentation always important too, right?
Yeah, you know, anytime you put something on your tax return, if a contribution is more than $250, you need written acknowledgement from the recipient organization.
Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners, keeping an eye on what they're talking about in the future in D.C. when it comes to taxes. But good tips this morning on when it comes to your charitable giving and getting the most in your deduction. Good info. Kevin, thanks much.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
WTAM 1100, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Steiner. This is Bill Wills. Friday, our buddy Greg Harris was in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The current voting, by the way, for the Rock Hall, Judas Priest, The Cars, Dire Straits, Moody Blues, Bon Jovi. And our voting, as far as us fans, comes to an end tomorrow. I've got Barry Gable at Live Nation with me because, hey, Barry, good morning. Also on Friday, Greg and I touched on the Tri-C High School Rock Off, when a great opportunity for maybe some future Rock Hall of Fame members, right?
That's correct. It's our 22nd annual Tri-C High School Rock Off, and it really, you know, the road to the Rock Hall begins with a Rock Off. And a lot of these kids that are performing in the High School Rock Off really are, this is a great opportunity for them to sort of get involved with music people like the people at the Rock Hall, Live Nation, a lot of the clubs in town, and it sort of jumpstarts their focus on their career, not just to be the next Bon Jovi or Judas Priest, Bill, but really to get a focus on the marketing opportunities, production capabilities, because there's such a wide array of opportunities in our industry.
Great point. And different ways to connect with people and show them the opportunities that are out there, and that's what really this is all about. And it's a great reminder in your business, if you will, it's more than just who's up on stage, right?
You hit it right on the head, because without the people that are, you know, connecting the dots to either get to the next town or build the set or produce the show or market the show, the band sometimes gets just lost in the shuffle, quite honestly.
PNC Bank, big part of this, going to help with the three participating high school seniors launching their careers in music by providing some scholarship money. Paul Clark, who a long time, of course, in the region, the PNC regional president, talking about it being a tremendous opportunity. So a great way, again, for young people to get involved and be a part of this at the Rock Hall, right?
This is a tremendous opportunity. This is the first time that we've been able to do this, and through the support of PNC and Paul, they will be donating up to $2,000 for three different scholarships for students that want to continue their careers, and these are for seniors. So anybody that participates, this isn't one of those kind of contests for this scholarship that you have to win. You just need to participate. Enter the High School Rock Off. And there'll be a certain criteria based on, you know, your interest in the music business and all that information on what the scholarship opportunity is all about is on our website, which is rockhall.com/rockoff. And the big thing about this, since this just happened within the last week or so, we're going to extend the deadline so that parents, high school students, as well as their faculty advisors can log on to the website. The deadline now is December 22nd, and it's a great opportunity for you to continue your career in the music business.
Great idea. December 22nd, the deadline. Again, the Rock Off takes place January 20 through Feb 17, but a great opportunity when it comes to scholarships and awareness. Okay, concerts. Got a couple things you want to update me on here for the next couple weeks?
We absolutely do. We're going to be finishing up with a flurry. Tickets are going on sale this Friday for Hall of Famer Ann Wilson from Heart. She's going to be playing at the Hard Rock in April. Tickets are going to go on sale Friday. The same thing with the Fab Four, the Ultimate Beatles tribute. And one of the funniest guys on the planet, Bill Maher, will be playing at the Hard Rock as well on May 6th. And all three of those shows go on sale this Friday. Flurry of concerts at the Hard Rock, including Sarah Evans's concert the end of this week. I believe it's on the Saturday, the 8th.
The 8th, right.
And then 98 Degrees, Neil Zoss, Jason Bonham, one other show that we'll be announcing, and what goes on sale for Blossom, believe it or not. I know you're talking about the weather getting colder, but I'm looking at the stars under the Blossom night. You know, Foreigner's going to be coming, playing out at Blossom Music Center. Going to be a great show with Whitesnake and Jason Bonham also. That's going to be in July. Out at Blossom, and tickets for that show are going to go on sale Friday as well.
Fantastic. Let me get you out of here on the TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Still got some availability for that great show?
That show is incredible. Across the country, they're up on their ticket sales, over 100,000 tickets year over year. People just love the show. The band's coming into town on December 29th for two shows, and you said it, tickets are going extremely fast, so if you looking for a great stocking stuffer or some party to end the holiday, TSO is going to deliver for you.
Barry Gable at Live Nation with the update. Again, the rock-off deadline now December 22nd. You want to get involved in that, rockhall.com, the livenation.com website as well, with some info and a great thing from PNC with the scholarship money. Barry, thanks, partner. Have a great week, bud.
You got it. Thank you, Bill.
Best team coverage of the Browns. A loss yesterday. Phillip Rivers passes for 344 yards. The future Hall of Famer. And the Chargers handling your Browns 19-10. We've got Andre Knott this morning, Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio. Morning, partner.
Good morning. How you doing, Bill?
Good. I already screwed up. Hold on. Here's Coach, okay?
You never win till you win.
That's all you need to know. You never win until you win, and they've still yet to win, guys. Andre?
I tend to agree with them. I hate that this last week was all about Josh Gordon with all the issues he's had and everything else. And I feel like they got on that plane and came back from California and they're still losers despite going head over heels and getting a guy involved that's got so many other issues.
And as we were talking yesterday, Andre, with Gordon, we see what he can do. Now the question is, his question is today, tomorrow, the next day, right?
Absolutely. I get it, the excitement of getting a player of his caliber back. I think just with everything that, you know, else that comes along with them, what are you really, you know, gaining? I kept using the word yesterday, culture. You know, if you're building a culture, obviously you're not building a team of wins. I just think they got to watch what they're doing, you know, with this situation, because now the real battle for Josh Gordon, you know, comes back to him and to can he be reliable? You know, how do you deal with, you know, playing off the adrenaline of playing in an NFL game now? You know, how do you go through the process of staying, you know, clean and being there for your team? He obviously made the offense a little bit better, and you would think it would help more players. But, you know, once again, you know, I felt like Corey Coleman had his worst game of the season. You didn't see him anywhere on the field suddenly, and you threw so many balls his way. Does it divide and conquer on the development of the other guys that you really need to divide, you know, the guys that you really truly need to be sitting watching over the last four or five games of the season?
Well, it's always something. You know, over the weekend, there was now a report that actually Hugh Jackson wanted Carson Wentz. And all along, we had heard he really wanted Jared Goff. You keep getting those signals, Andre. It just tells you of the whatever the disconnect is, it's not working in that building.
No, yeah, and that's, you know, you and I have had this discussion for, you know, over a decade now. It seems, whether you're the best person in the world or the worst person in the world, it seems like you get a job out in Berea and suddenly you forget how to be a good teammate, how to be a good coworker, and it becomes very meat-oriented. I'm almost sick of the stories. No offense to who the story came from and how it came out, but, you know, it just seems like with Hugh, he's going to be anything that can be said to save his bacon, he's going to say and get it out there. And I feel like that's unfair because, once again, I keep going back to, you're not winning any games, so you better be building some culture. And the culture isn't very good when you have that type of backstabbing obviously going on amongst the people that are at the hierarchy of the business.
Triv out at the Hooley House Mentor today, Josh Cribbs in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's switch gears. A lot of talk, too, about the college football playoffs, the Final Four, if you will. Andre, the Buckeye loss at Iowa, Andre, does that pretty much explain it, why they're 5 and not 4?
Yeah, I mean, Bill, I want to be frustrated. I want to not like it. And I don't think the way they go about putting the four teams in there is fair. And who really, truly knows what's important. But at the end of the day, it's hard to fight a 31-point loss, you know, to a team that's unranked.
Yeah, and I think the thing that maybe had us kind of a little fooled, and I think not just us, but a lot of even the national observers, Andre, on the top line in terms of the way they evaluate teams, they say conference champion. Well, Ohio State did that, but at the end of the day, that was not enough.
No, it wasn't. And Mike, one thing that I read and heard a lot yesterday was that when you talk to coaches and guys that prepare for games, they kept saying, well, Alabama's better than Ohio State. The one thing I said to you yesterday, and the one thing that I truly believe, I think Ohio State is talented. I think they can beat anyone in America. I think they can lose anyone in America. But they never played up to the standard of a solid four quarters in any game this season. I think that they were their biggest enemy. Ohio State was their biggest enemy, not the guys on the committee, not another team. Ohio State beat Ohio State because they didn't come out and play very well, whether it be Saturday night or whether it be that game in Iowa. They were an inconsistent, talented team, and that's why they're not playing at the top four teams.
All right, simple yes or no's. Tree up?
Yes.
Figured you got kids. Snyder, you got yours up too?
Yes.
I'm the only guy. I'm a part of the...
You're holding out, huh?
I'm holding out, yeah. Favorite cookie? It's National Cookie Day.
Oh, man. I heard you talk about Oreos, and as soon as you did, I got a craving, so I'll just go to Oreos.
They're the number one selling cookie.
I love Oreos, too.
Right.
They're the best.
I can see why.
Let's set Oreos aside. I'll give you that. Give me another one.
I like a sugar cookie, especially around the Christmas time, around the holidays. A good homemade sugar cookie with icing is great to me.
I like that, too. I'll go with a peanut butter, though. A nice big peanut butter cookie.
Big peanut butter. Hint, hint. The peanut butter with the sugar on top. I like those.
Ooh. A little bit there. Just a little bit.
Hello. Hello. All right, guys. Have a good day.
See you, Dre.
Complete Cavaliers coverage. John Michael joins us in Chicago, where the Cavs will take on the Bulls tonight. Complete Cavaliers coverage on WTAM 1100. Brought to you by Huntington, one bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. First, the win against Memphis, 116-111. Coach talked about interesting how teams are now matching up against the Cavs, your bigs on the smalls, that sort of thing. Is that maybe a trend we've seen for a couple games?
Well, I think, the Cavs have continued to put teams into mismatch situations that have been troublesome. And it starts, obviously, with LeBron James. But having Kevin Love at that center spot, I think, has done the Cavaliers wonders. I mean, I think Kevin, it took a while for him to get adjusted to that. He was there originally. Cavs made a switch to put him back at that four, but now that he's back in the center role with Tristan Thompson out, it's creating all kind of problems. And you look at this streak, some of the guys that Kevin Love's had to deal with, we're talking about Andre Drummond, Dwight Howard, Hassan Whiteside, DeAndre Jordan, guys who are typical, dunking type centers where you'd probably say on the defensive end, wow, these guys are a mismatch for Kevin. It's going to be too difficult. They are the ones who are having problems dealing with Kevin out around the perimeter as he goes to shoot the three. His numbers have been terrific. Another double-double for him in that game against Memphis. So I think it's the Cavaliers that now are creating the mismatch problems, which is why, Bill, we're seeing some of these teams try to desperately switch small, see what they can do, and try to slow down the Cavaliers. But that, I think, coupled with the effective bench, and the problems that that's been causing for other teams, I think that's why we've been seeing some funky lineups out of some other teams, somewhat out of desperation to try to slow this Cavalier train down.
And, John, when you look at the Cavs, they've won 11 in a row, and I think the real upside, I think, for Cavs fans is, as I see it, they're still trying to figure things out, and we're still awaiting the return of Isaiah Thomas. And it sounds like Tristan Thompson's getting closer to a return. Have you heard anything new on Tristan?
I haven't heard anything new on Tristan, but I also, I have a feeling he's getting close just by seeing him around the team and everything else. But you're right, Mike, and I mean, it's something different every time. I mean, the defensive numbers, of course, they had to pick up from the first dozen games of the season, which they have during the recent streak. But then you look at the Memphis game, it wasn't the defense that game. It was the offense shooting 56%. And one thing that continues to be consistent is that bench. And I mean, it's almost like we talk about that every time, Mike, but it's worth repeating that over the last three seasons, that was a bench that was bottom three in the league in scoring all 3 years. This year, they're fifth, and man, they just continue to be effective. Dwayne Wade has been just a treat to watch this season, and he's having fun and playing great basketball. And of course, he's joined off that bench by Kyle Korver, Channing Frye, Jeff Green. Korver, by the way, Mike, during this streak, in terms of plus minus on the floor, off the floor, he's number one on this Cavalier team at a plus 126. Over the last 11 games. I mean, when he's on the floor, this team is scoring, over 10 points per game, more than the opponent, during that stretch. So, you know, the bench play has been critical for this team. It's been a delight to watch, a total change over what we've seen since LeBron has returned. And it's a huge reason why the Cavaliers are sitting here on win number 11.
Well, as you mentioned, Wade, thank you, Chicago, for the buyout. And you're in Chicago tonight. They are in total rebuild mode, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are, Michael. I mean, you know, the Grizzlies came to town losers of 10 straight. Two nights ago, the Chicago team, they've lost eight in a row. They feature a 3-18 record right now. That's dead last in the NBA. And yeah, it's a bunch of young guys. I mean, the Cavs have the oldest team in the league. This Bulls team has the youngest. Of course, they had the preseason fight where they're, you know, their one power forward, Bobby Portis, knocked out their other power forward, and Nick Mirotic. He still hasn't returned, has Mirotic to the lineup. So it hasn't been pretty for Fred Hoiberg. But these games, you know, the Bulls play the Cavaliers tight in the first meeting between these teams, third game of the season for the Cavaliers. It wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't a walkover. These young teams have been playing hard. We've seen this, you know, out of the Nets during this streak. Philadelphia is the same way. Young kids playing hard for their coach. And I expect nothing different here tonight.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll call it 12-point win. Cavs have won 11 straight, make it 12. Bulls have lost 8, make it 9.
Well, I'll call a Cavs win. I don't, you know, but I think there are some nights when they look at the other team, like Memphis the other night. They fired their coach, and the kids took the Cavs a while to get going. But they'll be fine.
All right, Window Nation Cavs now at 7. John Michael with a call from Chicago at 8. Back here at home on Wednesday against Sacramento. John Michael with your Cavs update. WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. By the way, is the tree up?
It's getting there. I think it's going to be up by the time I get back.
See?
It was brought down from the attic, the youngsters, so I think it's going to be.
John has to do things on increments, the way the Cavs schedule has been. He's in for a day.
We're making steps. Don't be,
right, John?
Snyder's got his up.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are still part of the resistance, and we're not quite there yet. All right. Thanks, John. See you, bud.
All right, guys. Okay.
Yeah, 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mike Snyder alongside ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks is with us. He can explain things better than anyone when it comes to law and in front of the court. Royal, good morning. What are they hearing today? How might it affect someone that wants to bet on, let's say, our Cleveland Browns here in Cleveland to win a game?
Well, good morning and thank you. Yeah, well, betting on sports, everybody knows, is a reality. It's about $150 billion business, but it's mostly illegal. And that's because in the 90s, the federal government said, you know what, we're going to ban the sports betting. The Pete Rose scandal inspired it. And the only places in the country where you can legally bet on sports or Nevada, they grandfathered that in because they legalized it back in the 40s, of course. And three states went with a sports lottery, Delaware, Montana, Oregon. Otherwise, to the states, the federal government said, you can't do it. Well, Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, said, I don't think they have a right to tell us whether we can legalize gambling or not. He filed a suit. And they took it up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's going to be heard today. And we're going to find out whether they think that you should be able to engage in legal sports gambling or not.
So, Royal, would this be beyond New Jersey then, depending on how this goes?
Yeah, exactly right. About 18 states have supported New Jersey's lawsuit. And if New Jersey and all the folks supporting them win today, what that means is that the Supreme Court will be saying, okay, the lid is off. If you as a state want to legalize sports gambling, you don't have to, but if you want to, you may. And of course, those 18 states lining up with New Jersey certainly are going to pass bills of some type, and a lot of other states might be tempted to do it. And then you're going to get into all sorts of interesting issues. What about online gambling? Is that going to be completely legal, or will it be limited to casinos and betting parlors? Who's going to get the money? The leagues, tax collectors, maybe the players will share it. So every state would have to handle it differently. But it would certainly change life because, you know, tens of millions of people who've got apps on their phones and regularly bet on sports, even though it's technically illegal, they would now be doing something that the government says is okay to do.
Now, the leagues to this point have really been against it, but I know the NBA's commissioner basically is for it, but I believe he wants it more of a federal mandate as opposed to what this is, correct?
Exactly right. The leagues, it's a little murky because the leagues say they're against legalized betting, but a lot of people are cynical and they say, well,
it's a PR thing. They know that there's a taint to legalized gambling, that there's an association with organized crime, and the leagues don't want to be perceived by the public as pushing this along and figuring, oh, you know, these guys are going to make a lot of money. But I think, in truth, they're probably okay with it. As you suggest, some of the leagues would prefer one federal czar regulating gambling everywhere, as opposed to having to deal with 50 states. But most leagues and most states, I think, are saying to themselves, go ahead, it's time, the Supreme Court, allow the states to make the decision on a case-by-case basis. We'll read the tea leaves, because at the oral argument today, as you know, the justices aren't shy. They often ask questions that really give you a clear signal as to which way they're voting. And so at the end of today, we may know whether there's going to be legalized sports betting down the road. We won't have the decision for a month or
right.
two. That's when they'll issue it.
Just based on their questions, I mean, let me get you headed on this. Can you handicap it at all? I mean, normally it's 5-4, liberal, Democrat. Is there politics involved in this too, or what?
You know, I think that they're going to vote in favor of legalized gambling. One reason to say that is because they agreed to take the case up. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do was say, oh, the lower court ruled against Christie, they're against gambling. We're fine with that. We've got plenty of other cases to deal with. I think that's a strong sign in this case. It isn't always, but in this case, that, yeah, they're going to be okay with legalized gambling. Frankly, they don't like to lead people around by the nose. The Supreme Court is not comfortable telling people what to do, even though it's ironic. That's kind of their job. I predict that they're going to say yes to legalized gambling.
Good take. Royal Oaks, thanks, pal.
Thanks.